Scripture today is from Ruth, the second chapter. Ruth meets Boaz in the grain field. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. Now you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered and amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all of my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
In the beginning, work was good. In Genesis, we find God at work. God is creatively productive. God is pleased and happy both in his work and with his work. The crowning achievement of God's work, his masterpiece, was the creation of humankind. And what was the first thing God did? He put humankind to work. Hear the word of the Lord. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Work is a blessing. It's part of being created in the image of God. Like God, we have the capacity to be creatively productive and to be pleased and happy in doing our work and pleased and happy with the outcome of our work. Job one was to tend the garden. Job two was to spread the garden to the rest of the world so that in time, humankind ruled and cared for the entire earth and everything in it. In the beginning, work was better than good. It was humankind working together with God to fulfill his eternal purposes. It was the ultimate in meaningful work designed to bring joy to us and glory to God. In the beginning, work was, in the true sense of the word, awesome. Until it wasn't. When Adam and Eve sinned by literally taking matters into their own hands, instead of trusting the goodness of God, work became, well, work. What we know as work today. Hear the word of the Lord. To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Because the image of God is still resident in us, humankind is still capable of amazing things, amazing work, and of finding fulfillment in our work. Yet, because sin has entered the domain of work, work can also work against us. Both having work and not having work can be a source of physical, emotional, social, and financial distress. Instead of work being consistently good, work is inherently unstable. A good work situation today can be a harmful work situation tomorrow. Fast forward thousands of years to around 1000 BC, and work is still tough. There's famine in the land of Israel, and Elimelech took his wife Naomi and their two sons, and they took the 1,800-mile journey to Moab, where Elimelech hoped things would be better for his family. Perhaps for a while, life was better. They settled in. The boys married local girls. But then everything started to unravel. First dad died, then both sons died. After 10 years, Ruth finds herself alone with her two widowed daughters-in-law. The prospects for the two young widows were marginally better than Naomi's. Maybe they could find a new husband. But Naomi's marrying days were done. She decided to go home to Bethlehem. She tries to persuade her daughter-in-laws to remain in their hometown with their own families and with their own friends and with their own gods. One of them does remain. The other, Ruth, is determined to stay with her mother-in-law. Ruth said to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." So these two single widowed women make the 1,800-mile journey back to Bethlehem. That had to be dangerous. It had to be hard. Their arrival in Bethlehem caused quite the commotion. The local folks couldn't believe Naomi was back home. But it wasn't the same Naomi that left Bethlehem 10 years ago. The Naomi that left Bethlehem was full of hope for the future. The Naomi that returned to Bethlehem was a broken and bitter person. Naomi told the townsfolk, "Don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter, "because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." No doubt Naomi was not the only cause for commotion. The Moabite woman was nothing short of a scandal. Moab was a thorn in the flesh to Israel. Moab refused Israel passage on the way to the promised land. They joined in attempting to get Balaam to curse Israel. And for this, it was written in the law of Moses, quote, "No Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord," end quote. Then Moabite women seduced Israelite men and led them into the worship of their gods. For this, God punished Israel with a plague that killed 24,000 Israelites. During the time of the judges, which is the historical context for the setting of the book of Ruth, Israel was made to serve Moab for 18 years. Because Israel was not faithful to the Lord, there was no love lost between Israel and Moab. The attitude was probably something like, "Who is this Moabite woman and what is she doing in our town?" Naomi was home but broken. Ruth is with Naomi, but not feeling at home. Some way, somehow, these two single widowed women must provide for themselves. In this context, Ruth desires to work. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turns out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. As it turns out, this is a tongue-in-cheek phrase. The writer wants us to understand this is not just as it turned out. This is not just chance. It didn't just happen to turn out this way. God was sovereignly guiding Ruth to exactly the right field for her daily work. Do we consider God to be sovereign over our work? What difference could it make if we received our desire to work on whatever it may be, our job, our car, our floors, our hobbies, our schoolwork, as God's sovereign guidance in our lives? Do you believe that God loves you so much that He will even guide you to exactly the work you need to be doing in every moment of every day? Let's see what happens next. Boaz blesses his workers. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you," they answered. The NIV calls Boaz a man of standing. One commentator notes that the Hebrew wording conveys the idea of a man of substance and character. Also, a man who was both a man of means, a good businessman, but also one who was rooted in the law, who knew God's word. The tone the boss sets makes all the difference in our work as an employee, doesn't it? Or even if in our work as a volunteer somewhere. We get our first look at Boaz as a man of substance and character by the way he treats his workers. Boaz verbally blesses his workers, and they bless him back. It makes a difference how we speak to each other in our work. Our words, when we work, will either build an environment that blesses people or an environment that burdens people. God wants us to be blessed in our work, and He wants us to be a blessing to others in our work. Next time, when you're working, you feel the urge to say something kind to someone, just say it. Just say it. That's God wanting to work through you to be a blessing. When someone says something kind to you, receive it, not as just a nice comment from a colleague or a friend, but as a blessing of the Lord to you for this moment in this day. Then Boaz does something that good bosses do and good employees will do too. Boaz notices what is different and discovers what it means. Boaz noticed that there's a young woman in the fields he's not seen before. This implies he knows the other workers well, both the men and the women. And he immediately spotted what was different. He took time to find out from the overseer what was happening. Notice, because of the tone that Boaz had set with his workers over time and the example he had given them, the overseer has already given Ruth, the Moabite, the foreigner, the outcast, permission to glean in his boss's field. A decision that we can see was in line with the character and practices of his boss. Because Boaz was kind and set an example of kindness to his own workers, his workers knew they could extend kindness down the line. Once Boaz has the story straight, he knows what to do. In our work, we can often see God at work by noticing what is different. What is outside the norm for this situation? When we see what is different, we believe that God has introduced this difference. Before we respond to a situation we're not expecting, we would be wise to do our best to find out the story of what's going on. In the backstory of the difference that we notice, God often reveals to us, as he did for Boaz, how we should respond to this unexpected development. In understanding Ruth's backstory, Boaz discovers what the posture of his heart and actions should be toward Ruth. Boaz shows to Ruth unexpected and unrequired care. Boaz immediately changes Ruth's standing from outsider to family by calling her my daughter. Boaz ensures her safety by telling the men to keep their hands off of her. From the context of the story, we know that both Ruth and Naomi had to know that Ruth going to work was risky business. There was a good chance she might get raped that day. So Boaz takes measures to ensure Ruth's safety. Boaz provides for Ruth's immediate needs by giving her drink and providing food enough that she would have some left over to share with Naomi. Boaz gives Ruth special privileges to glean among the sheaves, which would normally be off limits to normal gleaners who would come behind the harvesters. And he instructs his workers to make it easy for Ruth. Make sure to throw some stalks down there so she can find it. Finally, Boaz assures her that she will have work in his field for the entire harvest season. And this provides at least short-term security for Ruth and Naomi. For her part, Ruth recognizes grace, unmerited favor, when she sees it at work. She bowed down with her face to the ground and asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" This is a great question. Why did Boaz show such great favor to this foreigner, this Moabite woman? You can imagine that all of Bethlehem would be buzzing about this turn of events. Boaz does this because he sees in Ruth's faithfulness to Naomi, she has given herself in genuine faith to the God of Israel. Boaz sees clearly that a person does not just do what Ruth did. Even today, we would find it difficult to leave her country, leave her people and culture where she was comfortable, to leave her gods that she had grown up with, and to walk away from any decent prospects, probably, of finding another husband. Ruth left everything and everyone behind, trusting that Yahweh would take care of her and take care of her mother-in-law. This was evident to Boaz, and this is why he blessed Ruth, saying, quote, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." End quote. This sounds like an echo of Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Boaz was gracious to Ruth because he now sees Ruth not as a foreigner, but as a part of God's covenant family, who deserves to be treated as such. Work can be a means of grace to us as well. Can you think of a time when God used your work to let you know how much He loves you and how much He cares for you, simply because you are His child, a member of His covenant family, through faith in Christ Jesus, your Lord? Ruth goes home with the reward of the day's work, about 30 pounds of grain. Since she would be working every day through the harvest, that would probably be enough to eat and some left over to sell, which would enable her and Naomi to begin building some material and financial security. Ruth tells Naomi all that happened today. And then the real miracle happens. Ruth's work restores Naomi's hope. After Naomi hears about Ruth's day at work, she clearly blesses Boaz. Then the NIV says this, quote, "He has not stopped showing His kindness to the living and the dead." Who is He? The NIV is somewhat ambiguous. It even seems to favor a reference to Boaz in the English. However, according to one scholar, the Hebrew makes it clear that He, in this case, is clearly the Lord. He offers this as a more accurate translation of the Hebrew. Quote, "May He," that is Boaz, "be blessed by Yahweh, who has not forsaken His kindness to the living," Naomi, "and the dead," her husband, "and her sons." Naomi recognizes God's sovereign goodness and provision that came to her because God birthed in Ruth a desire to go to work. In that moment, as we know from the remainder of the story, Naomi's bitterness was transformed into hope in God's goodness for the future. So here's the point of this portion of Ruth's story for us today. God works through our work to give us hope. Work can be a joyful spiritual discipline for us if we recognize that God is drawing us to Himself in our work. He wants to meet us there. God wants us to experience His sovereign goodness to us in the work He brings to us each and every day. God wants us to experience what it means to be made in the image of God by being creatively productive in our work. God wants us to bless others through our work in the way we treat others when we are working. God wants to protect us from evil through our work. Good work protects us from evil and sin, just like Boaz protected Ruth from the possibility of rape. Any good work that is not immoral is good work. It's work that God can and will use to protect us, to bless us, to bless others, and to help us do what we're created to do, which is to be co-laborers with Him in fulfilling His eternal purposes. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Approaching work as a spiritual discipline is really simple. Look for how God is protecting us, blessing us, blessing others, and guiding us through our work. And let our hearts be glad in what we see. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank You for the blessing of work that touches every one of us. And we pray, Lord, that You will open our eyes that we may see You in our work every day, how You lead us and guide us and bless us and help us to be a blessing to others. And Lord, may our hearts be glad in that. For in there we find one aspect of the joy of Your salvation. And we're grateful for it. In Christ's name, amen.